Focus on the Community on WAMW. I'm Grant Schwartzentruber. Each week we focus on a topic important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. I've got a nice little series, I think, over the next couple shows, and we're going to be focusing on some political discussions with a few local people as we gear up for the important midterm elections in the state of Indiana and Daviess County and obviously United States. Today I'm joined by Republican County Councilman and can I call you a political operative, Mike?
If I'm an operative, I'm a political, I guess, a political interested person.
Sure. Now, someone who's very well versed in politics and a Republican. And I'm joined by Mike Myers. How are you, Mike?
I'm fine, Grant. How are you this morning?
Very good. Well, thanks for taking the time to come on the show. I know you're supposed to be out farming and doing all sorts of other important things, but we appreciate your time. First off, just so nobody thinks this is unfair, you are an elected official, but you are not opposed. Is that correct?
Correct. I had an opponent in the primary this spring, but I easily beat back that challenge, and the Democrats did not field anyone on the other side of my office for the fall. So there are other Democrats on the ballot, but I am unopposed, so there's no one on the other side. It's going to demand equal time for this office.
Sure, so. Sure. So we're good talking to you, and I do want to mention that we're going to have I'm hoping we have a gal that's going to come on and give her opinion from a Democrat perspective about the same topics that we're discussing today.
Okay.
But you're gonna I'm gonna be friendly to you today. Okay.
Okay.
the discussion's gonna be pretty easy. So first off, when do we vote? I mean, when is this supposed to happen?
Well, voting early voting opened this week on Wednesday of this past week. Early voting opened, absentee early voting opened in the courthouse. That's the only location that there is to vote up until Election Day. That or, of course, by mail. The close for registering to vote, be able to register to vote for this election closed on Tuesday, the 9th of October. So okay. If you're not registered now, you will not be able to vote.
Go ahead and get registered, but you're not voting until 2020, right?
Right. Well, actually,
the 2019.
2019, the city and town elections next year, municipal elections next year, you could vote. But if you're registered to vote, you can vote in person at the courthouse. You can request an absentee ballot. You can request them to be mailed to you in a lot of different ways. And I know I don't believe yet, but they will closer to election time. The clerk's office will have Saturday hours. I don't think they do yet. But during the week, when the courthouse is open, you can get up there and vote now.
Okay. So actual voting day, the traditional voting day, is that November the 7th or 6th?
I believe it's the 6th. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but I believe it's the 6th.
Yeah. The first Tuesday in November this year. Okay.
First Tuesday after the first Monday in November, I think, is what it is.
And so now you've got early voting up, you know, 30 days ahead of actual traditional election day. So people can vote during the week, and then you said, I think, the last couple Saturdays you can go into the clerk's office.
I think so. They're good about announcing. You walk into the courthouse right now, there are signs all over the place telling you can vote right now in the clerk's office. So but they will announce when those Saturday hours are coming up.
Great. So no excuse not to vote unless you're not registered. Then that's
the only problem. And now it's too late for that now.
Sure.
They closed on Tuesday. So
well, no problem. Let's get right into it. And I'd like to talk about national stuff to start. I think that's the most material that we've got. It's just been a whirlwind of a couple of weeks here, and then we'll get into some of the state and local stuff. But first off, the big issue that we've seen that's just taken so much time out of the national airwaves and on the news and in the opinion columns is about Supreme Court nominee Justice Kavanaugh. Mm-hmm. Now was Judge Kavanaugh, now Justice Kavanaugh. How does that play into and how does that affect these national races?
Well, I think obviously it'll probably serve to keep both sides fired up. You know, there's been a lot of talk going back to the spring about a blue wave, and then the Democrats will be successful this fall because of people being upset with Trump or this or that. One thing that can happen in politics is voter complacency, and where, you know, people on the left or people who are upset at President Trump have heard for so much time, well, there's going to be a blue wave, going to be a blue wave, and they may get close to election and think, well, there's this blue wave, it's a done deal, I don't need to show up. I think that the whole situation with Justice Kavanaugh and how that played out may serve to keep the left fired up and keep them motivated to go vote on Election Day, as we are so close to it now. On the other hand, I think, too, it did fire up, and I know some, particularly me and my conservative friends, are pretty fired up now, and then they realize just how important control of the House and Senate is coming out of this midterm election. And so I think they're going to be fired up going into Election Day as well. I think it's probably served to rev up the bases of both sides.
Absolutely. And I've heard that, you know, at first this was supposed to be a blue wave year, right? I mean, I remember talking to Ron Critchlow, local Democrat chair, around the time of the primaries. And he's like, oh, yeah, blue wave. Yeah, it's happening. Blue wave, blue wave. And you know, it's the year that any party who does not hold the presidency has traditionally been successful. Is that right?
Yeah. Historically, the midterms in the first term of a new president typically go better for the opposition party. I think if you go back to 2000, I remember in 2008, coming out of there when President Obama was first elected and Democrats had control of both houses and everybody's like, well, the Republican Party's in tatters and so forth. Well, it was only, I believe, 2 years later that the Republicans were able to take back control of the Senate, you know, in the first midterm for the Obama administration. So just historically, that first midterm election after a new president comes in is not good for the party in power in the White House.
2010, 2002, of course, 1994, Republican Revolution.
Yeah.
You had all sorts of Republicans, and it was a drastic shift. So in your opinion, Mike, then the Democrats will likely pick up seats in this midterm election. Is that right?
I think they'll pick up in the House. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they will take over the House. But I think that, you know, there's a good chance they will gain seats in the House of Representatives. Now, on the Senate side, going into this year, even though it was historically a midterm election, is not good for an incumbent president in his first term. The Democrats, though, had many more seats to defend nationwide in the U.S.
Senate, right.
And a lot of those seats they were defending were in states where President Trump won in 2016. So they faced more of an uphill battle than maybe historically you normally would in the Senate. And I think actually in the Senate, I think that the chances for Republicans to maintain the majority are very good. And I think from some of the things I'm seeing, they may actually be able to pick up a seat or two.
Wow. Net. That would be a really good thing for Republicans if they could hang on to the Senate or grow their seats in the Senate. And you know, the president's going to point to that saying, you know, hey, this is clearly clearly we're doing something right here if we're able to gain seats. But you also think, and I could be wrong about this, you think that it's likely that the Republicans will lose the House. Is that right?
I wouldn't say likely. I think it's certainly possible. I think it's more possible there than in the Senate. I think Republicans will probably lose seats, which is not an unheard of thing, particularly in a, you know, in a first midterm after a presidential election. You know, we'll see. I think it'll be very close. You know, there are going to be some key races around the country that I think will determine control of the House, and it can be very close.
And I think that's it's something worth talking about, that there are certain key races. Are any of those key House races, in your opinion, are any of those in Indiana?
I don't believe so. I don't see any of this, any of the districts in Indiana changing hands. Come on Election Day.
So we've got 9 districts. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, 9. Mm-hmm. And we're in the 8th district, congressional district. That'll be retained by Larry Bouchon, we presume.
Yes.
Republican. And you don't think any of those seats? I think it's 7-2, so 7 Republicans and 2 Democrats from Indiana. And you think those will all stay in their respective hands?
I think so. We have, what is it, two Republican seats that have Messer and Todd Rokita's seats. They both decided to run for the Senate and didn't get it, so those would be new Republicans. But I think the party will hang on to those two.
That's right. The vice president's brother is running in one of those seats, Messer's seat.
That's true.
Greg Pence, and then there's a gentleman named Jim Baird, a war veteran who is running in the Rokita seat, the 4th. But that's pretty straightforward. Not a lot to see here in Indiana in the House races.
I don't think so in the House, no. I don't think there'll be. I think particularly Congressman Bouchon's race here in the 8th district, I think that'll go his way pretty early in the evening.
And who's he running against, Mike?
Running against a gentleman from Terre Haute. Tanous is the last name. I don't know much about him. That's a common name in Terre Haute, being an Indiana State University graduate. Well, I've heard that name a lot. So, like I say, again, I think that the congressman will be in good shape there. The only thing that will delay calling his race is the fact that there are so many counties in that district that are on Central Time.
This
the
is perfect.
Polls close late an hour later.
I was just thinking of this. You're talking about Indiana State. I think Larry Bird's brother is running for something in Vigo County. Is that right?
I think so. In fact, I think it wasn't his brother. One of his brothers, wasn't he a candidate for mayor up there the last time for the Democrats against Duke Bennett?
Yeah, he's on the ballot again. I'm not sure what he's running for, but we'll have to pay attention to that on election night.
One of them was maybe it was Eddie Bird, who was in college at the time I was, that played basketball for Indiana State as well. I think he's the director of the Parks Department in Terre Haute.
I see.
Something like that.
Interesting. You're a wealth of information always.
The Bird family is well entrenched in Terre Haute, have been ever since Larry was there.
It's Bird and Tanous, right? They're both royalty in Terre Haute.
I think Bird is royalty on if anyone else approaches the Bird name in Terre Haute.
So Tanous is the opponent for Bouchon, and he probably isn't going to have some... be met with success just because the National Democrats haven't gotten involved in that race.
No, they haven't.
Anticipating a Republican victory for Congressman Bouchon. Good. Well, let's talk about, though, the Senate race, and that's a big race. That's the incumbent is Joe Donnelly, who was on this show a couple of months ago, mm-hmm. and then also the challenger, Republican Mike Braun. And he was on this show a couple months ago as well, and we might try to get them both on or get whoever wins on election night. Tell me a little bit about that race and what's the Kavanaugh effect here, if any?
Well, it'll be interesting to see if there is. Obviously, Senator Donnelly was on the fence and didn't announce anything until right before the vote, and he ended up he voted for Justice Gorsuch, the President Trump's first nominee to the court.
Correct.
He voted for him, but he in the end voted against Senator Kavanaugh, and you don't know how much politics entered into that or what his thinking was, you know. But he was on the fence right until the end.
I think he said he was not voting for Kavanaugh before the FBI investigation results were out. Is that true?
I didn't read that. I don't recall. I didn't. It's, a lot of that happened so fast that weekend, and I was actually pretty busy cutting soybeans. So I was kind of out of the loop a little bit.
Right.
Of course, this is another state, like we talked about. President Trump won Indiana handily 2 years ago, but Senator Donnelly is defending a Democratic seat in a state where President Trump won. And it's a battleground for the Senate. If the Republicans can pick up a seat here, it would be big. And not only their attempts to maintain control of the Senate, but to try to increase their majority. And
it's a really big race, and it's been on the radar for a number of national groups to be paying attention to. Although it seems like it's fallen off a little bit. I mean, certainly it was one of the top two or three races maybe 6 months ago, and that's why you had all these Republicans. I mean, high-profile Republican primary, mm-hmm. right? You had two sitting congressmen, and then Mike Braun ended up coming out of that race and being successful. So he's the Republican candidate against the incumbent Joe Donnelly. But a lot of Republicans saw this as an opportunity for a pickup. But it does seem to have lost its luster a little bit. You've heard about other races that have kind of picked up steam. One in North Dakota, the one in Missouri, Texas. Just a lot of these mm-hmm. races that are high profile and are opportunities for the Republicans. You made a good point earlier, and I'm kind of getting off topic here, but your point about the math being bad for Democrats, and it's just a function of the cycle, right?
Yeah.
You've got 6-year terms, and so you've got a third of the Senate coming up every 2 years.
Yeah.
It just so happens that the seats that were incumbent seats are Democrats this cycle. And so, or are they Republicans this cycle? They're Republicans this cycle. Or are they Democrats?
I think they're more Democratic seats up this year than there were 2 years ago, more than Republicans have this year. And like I say, several of those were in states where Trump won 2 years ago. So that's what's made it more challenging for Democrats in the Senate to try and wrest control from the Republicans is the fact they're on defense more than the Republicans are.
That's right. It's a bad numbers game for Democrats, mm-hmm. and that's why, if for no other reason, that it should be a good opportunity for Republicans to hold pat.
Yeah, and I know in Indiana, the Republican National Committee has had a strong presence here for most of the year, ever since the primary. And they've concentrated on this race. They've keyed in on this race. And I think it's going to be very close. The polling I've seen recently, really I've never seen the polling show a lot of difference, a lot of space between the two, and the polling I've seen recently shows that it's very close within the margin of error, which is what everyone talks about. And I haven't seen a poll that shows Senator Donnelly at 50% or above, which is kind of another benchmark people look at. You know, if you're at 50%, you can afford to lose a few of the late undecideds and still win. But if you're below 50%, then those people that don't make their minds up until closer to election day are really key.
Right.
Again, everything I've heard and everything I know about this race, turnout will be the key on election day. Who turns out more, the people better. Indiana is traditionally a Republican state. President Trump's already been here actually twice for Mike Braun. He was here right after the primary back in the spring in South Bend, I believe, and then he was in Evansville back in August. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's back here again before Election Day to support Mike.
And Davis County traditionally obviously is Republican. I think when we were talking earlier, Daviess County had the highest margin of victory for the president of any county in Indiana, and also one of the highest anywhere. Is that right?
I think so. It might have been the highest in the nation. I'd have to go back and check on that. But it was. He had a very strong presence here and a very strong amount of support. And you, and I don't think that's changed in 2 years. You go back to that rally in Evansville for Mike back in August. A lot of people from Daviess County went down there and fought the crowds to get in there and to see the president speak. A lot of people did, and there were people that wanted to go that couldn't, including me. I had too many sporting events back here that day, but President Trump is popular. There's a house here in the county somewhere, I can't remember exactly where it was, that it still has a Trump flag on her flagpole out front 2 years later. You know, people in Daviess County had Trump yard signs in their yards still months after the election ended in 2016.
And so diagnose it here for a bit. I mean, we're 2 years in. I mean, as a conservative person, I mean, for me, you just look at the results. You've got two Supreme Court nominees. You've got some legislation. You've got some regulations that have, in my opinion, as a Republican, have changed positively. I mean, what would you say from your point of view? What do you think the normal person in Daviess County is thinking?
I think the normal person in Daviess County is really pleased. You know, personally, I don't always like the president's style now and then. I like seeing him stay off Twitter a little bit more than he does, but I'm not on Twitter myself.
Take some sleeping medicine so you're not on Twitter at night. Yeah.
But you know, you look at the things he's done, like you mentioned, two Supreme Court justices, a major tax cut, an economy that's roaring. Mm-hmm. I think statistics came out last week that the national unemployment is at 3.9%, the lowest since the early stages of the Nixon administration, going back to the late 60s.
Historically low. I don't know that I've ever heard of it being before 4%.
You know, people out here around here, employers and stuff, the biggest problem they have is finding people. Of course, our unemployment has been strong all the way through. You go back to the Great Recession of 2008 and 2009, when the state's unemployment hit almost double digits. Ours was half of that. You know, we've always been strong, but around here, I think unemployment is still below the national average around in Daviess County, and the national average is pretty low.
Right. Well, it seems like it'd be good for Republicans in general on the local races, but we keep hearing about this blue wave, and I think that it'll be quite a bit more divided at the national level if we're talking about national races. But in your opinion, like you said, they may be able to keep the House, and you like the Republicans' chances in the Senate. Is that right?
Definitely, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Let's move on to state races. We've got three statewide offices up: the auditor, the secretary of state, the treasurer. I don't think there's a lot to see here. Not a lot to talk about. I could be wrong. What are your thoughts?
No, I don't think that those races will generate much interest. I think all three will be reelected without much problem.
And incumbent Republicans will win. Is that right?
Yeah, incumbent.
Three females. Is that right?
Yeah, three women. Yes, and all very accomplished. One of the things that as a county official, and when I talk with other county officials, that we see as important at the state level is people up in Indianapolis have that local experience. And all three of those ladies all have prior local government experience. Kelly Mitchell, the state treasurer, was a county commissioner. Connie Lawson, the secretary of state, was a county clerk, I believe. Tara Klutz, the state auditor, was the auditor of Allen County.
That's right.
And is actually the first certified public accountant to be state auditor state history. So
that's
all three of them are accomplished. And like I said, those races, particularly without the governor's office being on the ballot this year, being in the middle of that as well, they just won't generate a lot of interest. All three will be reelected handily. Yeah.
So Mitchell, Lawson, and Klutz is what you're anticipating. Yeah. Three female Republicans statewide. Elected offices. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but this week there was some news coming out of the state house. There was an accusation against the Senate or the Speaker of the House, state house, Brian Bosma, and any commentary on that? I know it's brand new.
Yeah, not really. All I know about is a headline I saw on the internet yesterday, and I didn't even have a chance to read the story. And as we've seen with any kind of situation like this, when the initial report comes out, it takes time for everything to kind of sort itself out and for the details to really come out. But I didn't have a chance to read the story myself. I just saw the headline, so I know very little about it. It's very fresh and new.
Certainly. Let's get right into the local stuff. Are we going to see a blue wave locally, Mike?
I don't think so. In Daviess County, and of course we have some state races that go into Daviess County. The District 63 state representative race, which District 63 takes in most of Daviess County. It doesn't take in all of it.
Tell me the candidates in that race.
That 63. Is Shane Lindauer, who is from former county councilman from Dubois County, and he was caucused in last year to replace Mike Braun whenever Mike decided to step down from his state representative job to concentrate full-time on running for the U.S. Senate. So Shane has now been through his first session as a state representative, and he's running against a farmer from the Lagodi area, Joe Lannon.
Joe Lannon, and it's not generated a ton of interest. I mean, maybe more locally than a normal state house race would, just because it's 63 is four counties, parts of four counties, yeah. I believe.
Yeah.
And Lannon is from Daviess County. Is that right?
I'm not sure if he's from the Lagodi area. I'm
okay,
not sure
if he's
a Daviess. I know Joe. I'm not sure if he's a Daviess County or from Martin County. That Lannon's a common name over there,
mm-hmm.
but I don't actually know if he. I know he farms over there, but I don't know if he's actually from Daviess County or from Martin.
And I don't know Joe. I've heard he's a nice guy. He's a farmer. Lindauer has been on the show a few months ago, and it seems like he's done a good job. I mean, it seems like he really knows what he's doing. He's a good listener. He's is willing to talk to constituents. I don't foresee an upset there, but I guess I could be wrong.
Again, with Daviess County, Shane being from DuBois County, he's going to run strong down there. And with Daviess County being a solid Republican county, that gives him any Republican running in that district is going to have a boost. And I think Shane will be fine.
So two, and we're going to this time flies by, but two races I'm going to talk about locally. There's a commissioner's race, and there's a Washington Township trustee race I want to cover. Commissioner's race, Republican Nathan Gabhart and Democrat Larry Miller. Tell me a little bit about that, your thoughts on what's going to happen.
Well, again, Nathan on the Republican ticket, Republicans have a solid advantage in Daviess County. There are just a lot of people in Daviess County that go in and push the Republican button and vote, and that's it. And a key in any Republican race in Daviess County is going to be in 2012, Daviess County went strongly for Trump, and it brought out a lot of new people that voted, and they voted for Trump. And the key is for the Republican Party to get those folks to come back and vote now, when even though his name is not on the ballot, to come back and vote Republican again. And so I think, you know, Nathan has an advantage just in the fact he's running on the Republican ticket, and it's a Republican county.
It's a countywide.
Countywide race, yeah.
I mean, you have to live in a certain spot, but it's a countywide official. Is that correct?
Yeah. All commissioner races, and there will be two on about in 2 years. They're all, you have to live in that district to run, but they're a countywide race. Now, the four county council seats up this year are districts, and in those, you have to live in the district, but only the people in that district vote on that particular seat. 2 years from now, we'll have three county council races that are county at large. You can live anywhere, and anyone can vote for any of them.
Gotcha. Very good. So that's Gabhart versus Miller on the commissioner race, and then Guy versus Critchlow, Washington Township trustee. Michelle Guy is the incumbent, and Ron Critchlow is a local Democrat chair, and I believe he's the challenger.
Yes.
Anything you want to say about that?
Well, Michelle is, I think, running for her second term. She's worked in an office for years. Her dad was the township trustee before her. That's probably the biggest township. It is the biggest township in the county, because it takes in all of the city of Washington plus the outlying areas. One thing they're going through right now, their North End Fire Station for the Washington Volunteer Fire Department was in poor shape, and so Michelle worked with the county to get some grants and to help be able to replace that, and they're putting up a brand new fire station.
That's
a great thing for the township.
Looks good. They're
doing
a good job. Sure.
Yeah.
Good.
And so that, and they also just got a new big fire truck in the township fire department too. And again, the township fire departments fall under the township trustee and the township board. So, no, I think Michelle will be fine. She's done a good job. She's aggressive, a hard worker, and I think she'll be fine there.
Very good. Got a couple of seconds here, and then we're going to have to close out. We talked a lot about a blue wave. We talked about the Kavanaugh effect, what that means. Give it to me in a nutshell, from the Republican perspective. What do we plan on seeing on election night for the midterms?
I think it's going to be closer nationally than what some of the mainstream media talk about. I think that particularly the way the whole Kavanaugh proceedings played out, it kind of fired up the right a little bit, and if there was any, I wouldn't say complacency, but whatever on the right, if there was any problem, I think people are now fired up and they're worked up. Same can be said for the other side, but I think it's going to be much closer nationally than what some of the pundits are pushing, because they're kind of pushing the line of the blue wave. And I'm not to say Democrats won't do well in places, but I don't think any of those places are going to be in Indiana.
I understand. Very good, Mike. You did a great job. Really appreciate you coming on, as always, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Grant.
Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. on 4 Star Country, The Journal 95.9 and 101.3 FM and 1580 AM. You can also listen to or download a copy of today's program and past shows by visiting WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Swartzentruber, inviting you to tune in every weekend to WAMW as we focus on the community.